Ephesians chapter 4 tonight, verses 7 to 16, in what is part 12 of our study together in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, really entitled United in the Gifts, subtitled, I guess, Growing Up, the Growing Up of a Healthy Church. And so tonight we're looking and using that portion of Scripture to springboard over to many verses of the Bible tonight. But why don't we read through and look at it just for refreshing regarding the study tonight. Ephesians 4, beginning there at verse 7. Paul says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Now this, and he quotes, "he ascended." What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? "He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastor teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come together in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, to a complete or perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share." I love that part. "Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." What a great passage of Scripture. If you want to mark that down in your notes and turn right now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's there we're going to be spending the bulk of our study as we look at this particular gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the gift of the discernment of spirits, or the discerning of spirits as taught in the Bible. We're really in part 4, and we've been continuing to do that in what is known as the operation of the gifts, the way the gifts ought to be used. And it's my heart's desire that by the time we come through this series, and in fact every time we come through a study in this, that you might be encouraged in your heart to find out what gift it is you have. We've been stressing over and over again that if you're a Christian, that if you're a believer in Jesus, that you have at least one gift of the Holy Spirit. The exciting thing is that tonight, if you don't know what it is, God wants you to know what it is. And that's exciting because you're going to find out if you stay tuned as we go through this series, you're going to find out what your gift is. And that's fun, because that's when Christianity really happens. When you find out what your gifting is, and believe it or not, the body is waiting for you to operate in your gift. You know what? I need you. And you might say, well, of course you need me. I mean, everybody needs me. Well, I do need you, though. The funny thing is, biblically, you need me. I need you. Matt needs Steve, and Steve needs Mike, and Karen, we need her. It's the body of Christ coming together, fitting together, being used as one. Yet each of us are different. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches, gives gifts according to His sovereign will. And that's an amazing thing to realize. So it's exciting, though, to be on the threshold of finding out what your gift might be. But tonight, as we mentioned, we're looking at is the word discernment, actually the discerning of spirits, and what does it all mean, and what is this gift? If you look in 1 Corinthians 12, there at verse 10, the Scripture tells us there that to another the working of miracles, to another the prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And our last time together, though, in our study, we ended with the topic of divine healing. And what's amazing about divine healing, or even teaching, or many of the gifts that the Lord has given to be worked out in the body, this gift, the discerning of spirits, is one that is needed so much in the operation of all of the other gifts. If somebody is healed supernaturally, does that mean it's from God? That ought to throw a monkey wrench in your thinking tonight. If somebody is healed supernaturally, does it automatically mean it's from God? Think about it. Let's keep going. Anyway. Satan is a master counterfeiter. Can Satan mock a healing? I believe he can. Satan can do a lot of things. The longer I'm a Christian, his abilities seem to be greater and greater. I think now I'm coming down to the point where you look at the book of Revelation, where even the false prophet will receive a mortal head wound, or the Antichrist, I should say, and Satan raises him up. Is the man really dead? I don't know. I have always thought that the man does not exactly die, that people think he's dead, but Satan raises him up. You see, Satan has to do that, you know, because everything God does, Satan's got to do. Jesus sends his son, so Satan will send his son, the Antichrist. There's the Christ and the Antichrist. There's true prophets and there's false prophets. There's true apostles, there's false apostles. There's the Bible and there's the Quran, to be quite honest with you, written by Satan. Whatever God produces, Satan produces a counterfeit to draw people away. I think now, as I'm growing older in the Lord, I think the only thing Satan cannot do is prophesy accurately. That's really a stumbling block for him. He's powerful, but God more. The gift of the discerning of spirits is extremely important in the day and age in which we live, and we're going to look at what it all means tonight. If you're taking notes, we're going to be hitting three main points, and we'll cover some sub-points to these three, but jot it down right now in advance if I fail to give them to you later. The first one will be, what is the discerning of spirits? What is it? The second will be, is why is the gift needed today? The third question that we're going to have or state tonight is, how is the gift used? Is it a gift that is really in need within the body of Christ today? The answer to that is absolutely yes, because the Bible teaches what is known. Now, are you ready for this big word? It's a big, huge word. It's an intimidating word. The perpetuity. Doesn't that sound great? The perpetuity of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which means the continuation. The theology of the Bible is once God has given the gifts, listen carefully, all of them. I know some of the denominations that you've come from teach otherwise, but once God gives a gift, He will not retract that gift until the day Jesus Christ comes. That's what the Bible teaches. If I don't like it, that's tough. If you don't like it, that's tough. That's what the Bible teaches. God gives the gift of healing, and He won't take it away until He comes. He gives the gift of prophet, and it stays until He comes. God gives the gift of even tongues, or the interpretation of tongues, and it sticks until the Lord returns. It doesn't matter what abuses you've seen. The abuses do not explain away the gifts. I wish the excuses could explain away the people who use them improperly, but that won't happen. The gifts continue. What the discernment of spirits is and why is it needed today, we're going to look at. But this is what it's not. Jot it down. It's not ghost busting. Discerning of spirits. Oh, that sounds kind of spooky. You know, we're going to get into some pretty exciting stuff tonight. But it's not ghost busting. It's not wearing garlic around your neck and going into a house and saying, I've got the gifts of discerning of spirits. And I sense a problem in here tonight. There's someone who's not with us, you know. It's not that. It is not by no means a critical or mean spirit to have the discernment of spirits. It's not somebody who's got the gift of what? Judgment? Oh, let me tell you, brother. what the Lord thinks of you. No, it's not that. And it is certainly not, listen, a keen, insightful ability to read people's personalities. You know, that is a real viable operation of just the human nature. You know, there are some people who are very, very good at pegging someone's nature or character. It's just the way it is. Some people are able to look at someone and they're talking and they'll think, you know, I bet this guy is a clean freak. Or I bet this guy is a real whatever. That is not the discerning of spirits in the Bible. That is not it. You have a keen ability to read someone. It's not a thing of the spirit. The human nature is able to do that. All of us are able to do that to some regard. Tonight we're going to be talking about the supernatural discerning of spirits. And it's needed like never before as far as I'm concerned. I really want to thank Hank Hanegraaff for writing the book, The Counterfeit Revival. I know he's getting attacked for that. There are literally people who have been hired to kill Hank Hanegraaff because of his last two books. There's contracts out on his life. He has received death threat notices. Some of them from certain cults that you're familiar with, or at least the assassins say they're from that cult, and then some from other so-called Christian groups saying they're going to do God a favor by removing Hank Hanegraaff. We need to pray for that man. That man's under great attack in every area of his life. And I love him. Discerning and discernment of spirits, so very, very important in the time in which we live. And the book of Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, the prophet said to the northern kingdom, speaking for God, Isaiah says, "Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity." He says, "Brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One to anger, and they have turned away backward." By the way, that's the word backsliding. They've backslidden. "Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick," says Isaiah. I'm having a hard time talking tonight. "The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints." Isaiah told the nation that was going astray from God. They were backsliding away. In 2 Timothy 3:1, Paul told Timothy, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Israel was going astray because they didn't have a keel. They didn't have a rudder to hang on to. The discerning of spirits goes much deeper than what you're thinking about that particular person, though it will apply in a moment. We'll talk about it. But it goes much deeper to the spiritual undertones of a nation, where someone at some point in time, like a Billy Graham or like someone perhaps, a prophet, maybe a Dave Hunt, would stand up and say, "Our nation is sick. It is sick in the head. Its heart is faint. It needs a revival. It needs to start over. It needs to get back to God." And the day and age which you and I live, Paul says to Timothy, they're perilous days. These are perilous times. Evil days. And tonight, we are gathered here together and we're going to take to heart this admonition to seek the Lord about the gift of the discerning of spirits. Or we're going to blow it off and think, well, that's for somebody else. Or it's really not needed. Listen, there's false prophecy like never before. We have false gospels like never before. In 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul said there, "Now the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, by the way, "expressly says that in the latter times," that's us now, "some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." The Bible says that in the last days, false doctrines will come. They will be demonic in nature. I was standing in Russia. I praise the Lord for the opportunities. Many times, we had the chance to talk to Mormons in Russia. And I know that a few of us did. And John Miller had shared something with me that he was sharing with a couple of Mormon missionaries, and I thought that was so excellent that I began to use it. And at one point in time, there were some Mormon missionaries up ahead of us going up an escalator, and I saw them from behind. And the way I identified them is their beautiful, perfect haircut and their very perfect, pressed, white, brilliant white shirts. And we had just stepped on the metro escalator. If you know what I'm talking about, it's like four, five, six stories up. I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't know how many feet it's in the ground. And I saw those guys, and I started running up those steps. And I got all the way up there, and I go, I mean, I was dying. Excuse me. And they turn around, and they go, what? And I said, can you wait a minute? Will you wait a minute? Yeah. And we got off, and I'm, okay, you know what? How you doing? I'm doing fine. How's it going, the evangelism and all? How's it going? Ah, oh, it's really tough. Are you having a hard time them accepting the gospel to the Americas? I would imagine it's kind of tough here. Yeah, it's really hard. But you know what? I mean, we're hanging in there. Oh, okay, that's great. Well, listen, I don't believe in your message. And they go, well, what are you doing? I said, listen, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Ohio, and this guy was from, I forget where, Seattle. And I said, okay, I'm from Chino Hills. And listen, I know where you're coming from, and I know what you're telling the people, but either the Bible is right or you're right. Because what you teach, I know what you teach, is not biblical. I hope you understand that. I'm sure you do, but the fact of the matter is, it's either one way or the other. Someone's right and someone's wrong. Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. I know what I used to say. I know what you say now. And the fact of the matter is, if we're going to embrace your message, the fact is Jesus now is either wrong or you're wrong. Because he said the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. And the Latter-day Saints say that the devil did, because there were no faiths, there were no churches to join when Joseph Smith came along. And so another one had to be created. And so Jesus is a loser, or Joseph Smith is. Who do you think is? And they said, you know, we're just going to have to think about that. And I said, you know, you think real good. Because someone's right and someone's wrong. And I walked away. We left them. And we had a chance to say that to a lot of them. I love them. Oh, if you love them, you just let them do their thing. No, if I love them, I'd pull them out of the house that they're in that's burning. Someone's right and someone's wrong. How do you know? How will you know? How do you know? Often by the discerning of spirits. Now, generally to the body of Jesus Christ at large, the moment you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and you are sealed, says Ephesians 1. By the Holy Spirit. At that moment, 1 John tells you that you now have the anointing from the Holy Spirit, or of the Holy Spirit. It means He presides in you. And the Bible goes on to say that He will teach you all truth. He will teach all things to you. The Holy Spirit will. So the fact of the matter is this. The Bible in our hearts, as we have it in our hearts, a brand new believer even can hear a false doctrine and immediately they know, this is wrong. Man will come up with his message and a brand new believer, they'll start to get all, hey, wait, something doesn't fit. It is so neat. They'll call the church or we'll talk to them, you know, during the week or whatever. Brand new believer. You know what? Somebody knocked on my door and they handed me this magazine called The Awake. And I just didn't like the way it felt in my hand. Brand new believer. They can't pull out one verse. And you just go, man, the Lord lives in your heart. Because it's the Holy Spirit saying, Now there's a general discernment that God gives to every Christian that is not the discerning of spirits. A little bit of background. Jesus performed a lot of miracles. Often many of them were satanic or demonic in nature. In Matthew 4:24, listen to this. In Matthew 4:24, it says, "Then his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with, number one, various diseases, and number two, torments, and those who were, number three, demon-possessed, and number four, epileptics, and number five, paralytics, and he healed them." Some of them were physically crippled. He healed them. Some of them had actually a brain problem with epilepsy, where there was the brain deficiency, the misconnect, and there's an epileptic seizure. Jesus healed them. There were those who were very, very much tormented emotionally, under almost or at the brink of insanity. Jesus touched them. Then there's the ones who were demon-possessed. And he healed them all. Did he know, did Jesus know, in the midst of all these situations, did Jesus know what he was doing and to whom he was ministering to? Absolutely. In Acts chapter 16, verse 17, Luke records there an encounter with a young slave girl that was following Paul and the team. And she cried out saying, now listen, they're on an evangelistic outreach, okay? They're moving along, and there's this young girl, she's a slave, and she's crying out saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." That's her message. Any problem with the message? No problem with the message at all. There's a problem with the messenger. Listen to this. Can you imagine? Look, you're traveling with Paul. Put yourself right there. All you know, all you and Luke and Silvanus and the rest of you guys know, you're walking with Paul. And there's a girl back there, and it says in the scripture for days she had been doing this. "These people are preaching the Word of God." And she's just, "Attention, please. These people." And she's like a big mouth loud horn thing, you know? So they're walking along, and listen to this. What do you think about this, if this would have happened to you? Paul then was greatly annoyed. And he turned to the Spirit, little s, Spirit, and said, "I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her." And he came out of her that very hour. Can you imagine walking along? "These guys preach salvation in Jesus Christ." Paul turns around and says, "I command you to come out of her now." Gee, what's wrong, Paul? Gee whiz, a little edgy today or what? Paul was discerning. Jesus was discerning. Paul was discerning. There was something wrong here. The message was fine. The messenger was way off. She was possessed by an evil spirit. Well, yeah, Jesus, fine. Paul, yeah. Well, I'm not a Jesus and I'm not a Paul. What about us? Well, listen to this. The same demonic and satanic powers that were affecting the life of Jesus Christ in his ministry and Paul the Apostle in his ministry, those same demonic and satanic powers are alive today. They're in the earth today. They're not on vacation. I know we want to sweep them underneath the, you know, carpet and pretend these powers don't exist. They do exist. And in fact, are you ready for this? They will get worse and worse right here in America, right here in our own backyard, the more and more we turn our back on Jesus Christ as a nation. The more and more we slack off from following and loving God, the Bible teaches this throughout history, that a nation left really to itself and has no position with God will go astray. It will become pagan in its conduct and activity. America is approaching that position. You can't kill babies. You can't legalize the things that we do and expect God to bless America. He won't do it. I believe we're living on old prayers, old blessings. I think America needs to repent from what it's doing as a nation. Can you imagine if all the Christians were raptured out of here today, what would pass in the state and federal governments the next day? Or what would transpire just in the spiritual realm itself? The Bible teaches these demonic powers will come in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times. But what about us? Are we left alone in this last century, in these days? No, we're not. Listen, you know this verse very well. Yes, it's true, we're not a Jesus and we're not a Paul, but listen to this. Jesus said in John 14:16, "I will pray to the Father and He'll give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive." because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. And I love verse 18. I will not leave you orphaned or comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus accomplishes his work today, now, today, and his desires by living in us, by the person of the Holy Spirit. And he gives the gift of the discerning of spirits. First thing, under what is the discerning of spirits, let's look at the definition from Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 12, 10, where you're at right now, it says the discerning of spirits. You should circle the word discerning because it means so very much. You might want to jot down the definition here. The word in the Greek means to judge thoroughly through something, to judge all the way through. It means to start at one point and go all the way through to the other end until you've uncovered every bit of evidence. The word also means to separate thoroughly, getting to the source. The word discern is to probe or to pry down into something. In some of your Bibles, it might even have the word to be discriminating in a godly sense. Discrimination in a godly way, a proper way. One Bible scholar defined it this way: the divine ability to sense or to detect spiritual opposition that is directed towards someone or to the body at large. A divine ability to sense. Listen, the gift of the discernment of spirits is both a defensive and offensive gift. I'll explain this in a moment. In fact, why don't you turn to Luke 4 and we'll look at it in its defensive sense. The gift of discerning spirits, Luke 4, and it is verse 33. Listen to this. It can be used to protect against evil. We know this right now. The discerning of spirits is the probing through of the spirit, or to get down to the spiritual realm in a matter, to uncover the facade or the situation and get to the source. And in the defense mode, to protect the body against evil, look at Luke 4:33. He says right here, "Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?'" Now this is the Spirit speaking. "Did you come to destroy us? I know you and who you are. You are the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, he came out of him and did not hurt him. Now Jesus, here discerning that this man had an evil spirit, went on the defensive. This guy is in the synagogue. Can you imagine? That's like saying that he's right here in church tonight. It's the same difference. And Jesus is even there. And so this guy who's demon-possessed comes in. And Jesus begins to deal with him on the defensive mode to protect the body. It's very important. Turn now to Matthew chapter 8. You'll see an example of the offensive use of this gift. Matthew 8:28. "And when he had come to the other side," this is a wonderful story, "of the country of the Gergesenes or Gadara," the same area there, Gennesaret, "there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?'" Isn't that amazing how they knew him? "Now a good way off from there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, 'If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine.' And he said to them, 'Go.' So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water." Here's a manifestation of Jesus taking the offensive mode. If you keep reading down to the end, in fact, look at verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 1. "So he got in a boat and crossed over and came back to his own city." Jesus gets in a boat, Talk about offensive attack. Using the discerning of the spirits and then many other powers, Jesus gets in a boat. He goes, it's about 7.5 miles, I think it is, across on the other side. He gets out, and right there when you get out of the boat is the hillside. You can, there's still this tomb that they've kept. And then if you're standing right there, the only place in the entire lake is a little bit over. If you look back at the lake from this tomb and this graveyard, you look over to your left and about 150 yards away is the only place in the entire Lake of Galilee where there's a steep hill that if you went over there and started walking down, you would tumble and crash into the water. It's the only spot. So you know that's the spot. Jesus gets in the boat, goes over there, deals with this guy to set the man free. The demons go in the pigs, run off into the cliff. Jesus gets back in the boat and goes back to the side of Tiberias over there. I like that. He goes through all of that just for one person on the offensive. He's discerning. Jesus knew that on the other side was this man. In fact, there were two guys, if you read all the Gospels, and it's mentioned here in Matthew, but the fact of the matter is, they were well known. And Jesus went there to deliver. The discerning of spirits. Very important. Does every Christian have this gift? I believe the answer to that is no, but I think we should all pray and ask. I think it's a sovereign gift given independently, or individually, I should say, by the Holy Spirit. Not to be confused with the general discernment that we spoke about earlier. If you want a scripture reference to that general discernment, by the way, it was 1 John 2:27. We mentioned it earlier. In 1 Corinthians 12:8, the Bible says concerning that, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and so on regarding the gifts of the Spirit, down to verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 12. And I like that because that means we need one another. The second point we want to see tonight is, why is the gift needed today? Why is the gift needed today? Because first of all, the body needs to be protected in defense against deception. We are being deceived today like never before, I think, in human history. Not only the church is under the attack of deception, but we are seeing people in the world being deceived by the most ridiculous things. And then, I think, some by the most spectacular things. I went and saw a movie the other night. Now, every time I do this, my wife like cringes. Don't even. We went to a movie because I wanted to hear this message that I was hearing from people. This is such an anti-Christian movie. It's such an anti-Christian message. So I wanted to go see this message that was in this movie. So I went, and it's just absolutely, whoever wrote this movie has got a real God complex. They're afraid to death that one God exists. Because when you come to the end of the movie, it's forget one God. I think we all can be gods, or we're going to be rescued by gods that live on other planets. And it's okay. Don't need to worry. And I thought, you know, when I'm sitting in that theater, I don't know if this has ever happened in a movie. I felt my discernment meter turn on. It just went boom. And I sat there through that movie and it went, and when I came out of that movie, I felt depressed. I felt spiritually oppressed. I felt like I had listened to 2 hours and 25 minutes of a false doctrine message presentation. And that's exactly what it was. It was the New Age gospel. And what a pulpit! Every theater around the world in Dolby Sound. What a pulpit! Don't believe in one God. There are many. In fact, in one of the scenes, you had to be watching for it. Someone had a sign. By the way, all the Christians in the movie look like idiots. Somebody had a sign that said, Jesus is an alien in this movie. And that's exciting because you're going to be hearing more and more about that in the next several months or so. About Jesus being an alien. Where did people come up with this? doctrines of demons. Ask, again, the New Age gurus. John Denver and his latest thing. Too many Rocky Mountain highs for John. John Travolta can heal himself now. He doesn't need anything or anybody. All he has to do is think healthy and think life, and he's done. Get a sore throat coming on? I'm fine. Just fine. John Travolta, your appendix are about ready to rupture. Nope. They're fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. Tom Cruise thinks he's a god. Girls, oh, but. No, he thinks he can save himself. Where do they get this? Where do they... $30,000 a week to talk to a channeler that tells them, okay, give me $30,000 a week, I'll talk to him and I'll mow his lawn on top of it, for crying out loud. That is ridiculous. What is going on? Doctrines of demons. People don't want to believe in this book anymore. They don't want to believe in the Bible. A lot of people can't even understand what it says anymore. Their brains and hearts are so polluted. You know what? Little kids, they say the word, you know what? They say this word, it's broken. You know what? The human race is broken. I remember in Russia, I was talking to this one translator, Oleg, just a precious guy. And he kept walking along. Never complained, never. We were there in the dead of winter. We're walking everywhere trying to get something done. And he's like, Ben, what's the matter, Oleg? Nothing. What's the matter? I'm just not feeling good. What happened? Oh, I drank some water. I didn't boil it long enough. And my stomach's broken. It was so cute when he said it. He goes, well, my stomach's broken. That's what I did. Oh, here, have a piece of chewing gum. You know, I felt so bad for him. The human race is broken. It is sick. Like Isaiah said, the head is sick. It can't discern what's right or wrong anymore. And you know what? It's just not the young people. We're seeing old, gray-haired people that you go to for wisdom. And they're saying to people, they're saying to the young people, do whatever you want to do. Whatever feels good, do it. They didn't live like that. They weren't raised that way. And they've adopted this thing. What is it? Doctrines of demons, seducing spirits in the last days. Dangerous times. Do we need this gift? Yes, to protect the body against deception. We're at war with the devil and his demonic forces. Jack, don't talk like that. Oh, come on, it's true. Satan wants you to go, oh no, don't. Peter says he's like a lion, roaring. He's not a lion. He's like a lion. But lions have teeth. Well, Satan got his teeth knocked out by Jesus, really, in the resurrection. Jesus got out of the tomb and went, poof. He's defanged, as it is in your life. He'll accuse you, he'll attack you, he'll come after you. Yeah, he can make your life miserable, but he will not tear you in half. The world, on the other hand, is naked and open, not before God in that respect. They're naked and open with Satan right now. And they have no covering. Satan doesn't come in and attack them with a frontal attack. Roar! No, man, he comes in through a relationship. He comes in through a job. He comes in through the professor at school or whatever it is to pull you away from Christ. Or, if you're not a Christian, to keep you from coming to Christ. Very cunning, craftiness. The way Satan works. Ananias and Sapphira, a good example about why we need it in the church. In Acts chapter 5, you know the story. The church was growing. Satan was so upset. There were thousands of people coming to Christ every night in their crusades. I mean, 3,000 people one day preached the gospel. 3,000 people come forward. You think Satan's going to sit back and, oh, that's so great. Look at your brand new little church. It's growing so good. He hates it. So he attacks. And how does he do it? He attacks the Christian church. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. Scripture tells us there that they had sold. They were having things brought to the church and people were living as communally or common. So Ananias and Sapphira sold some land. That's great. There's no problem with that. But it says that they kept back a certain amount of money. That's not a problem. That's okay to do. The thing is that they lied about it. They sold it for $50, and when they came, they said, oh, we sold this for... And they lied. And then Peter turns to Ananias, and he says, Ananias, why is it that you've conceived in your heart to lie against the Holy Spirit? You haven't lied to men, you've lied to God. And then the guy drops dead right on the spot. And then his wife comes in. She was at Nordstrom's while whatever's going on. She comes tripping on in and, hey, look what I did with the money we just got. And Peter goes, ma'am, Sapphira, what a name, Sapphira. Her name means sparkly gem. You can just see her now. She comes in, she's got like disco balls hanging from her earlobes. You know, comes in. She's just really flashy. Sapphire. She comes in. Where's Daddy Warbucks at? Where's Ananias? Where's he at? And Peter says, you know what? The guys that buried your husband are going to come in here any moment and bury you too. You have lied in the body of Christ. Man, can you imagine that happen today? There'd be no church growth. Just think about that. It'd be terrible, you know? And then the next verse says, and great fear came upon all those in the church. Well, I should say so. You can imagine the next day, hey, we caught a fish, it was this big. Make you think twice. Peter was under the power of the Holy Spirit in the discerning of spirits to protect the body. That's heavy. In the area of pastoring, in the area of teaching, always in relation to the Word, always, listen, always in the way of discerning of spirits, very carefully, remember this, always in pastoring or ministering or discipling somebody, in teaching, there should always be a deep and heavy dependence upon the Word of God when it comes to the operation of the discerning of spirits. If you have this gift, you know it. And when that happens, it's often a very alone and lonely kind of a gift, because you'll have it and God will reveal something to you that is a secret, perhaps, to let that person or that group know. And it will never be done through the operations of, say, a prophet who will stand up in the middle of the message, I've got a message. No, the person who has the gift of discerning spirits is broken over this thing. A lot of people who have that gift have a hard time sleeping at night because God is showing them things. And then they pray, and God gives them verses, and God gives them confirmation, and then they go to that person. And they say, you know what? And they come humbly. They never, if anyone ever comes to you, and they say, well, I have the gift of the discernment of spirits, and I need to talk to you. You know what? Just walk away from them. Listen, I have the gift of discerning of spirits, and you know what? You're supposed to give me, hey, get out of here. You didn't know this, but there was a guy here when John Wolford was here. He came and showed up, and he announced to somebody, I'm a prophet. Well, the funny thing is, after I introduced John Wolford, I walked down the aisle, and I'm just walking out, and you know, this place was packed. And God is so good, because all of a sudden it's like, and you know, I'm just, hi, God bless you, hey, how you doing? You know, I'm walking, and this is, you know, he's up here getting ready to do his message, and all of a sudden, boop, 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 I mean, just lock on. And I saw this guy, and I looked right at his eyes, and I just looked at him. And it was so weird. There's just something's wrong. Just like that. And then guy comes up and he says, hey, we've got a false prophet. I said, is it that guy over there? Yeah. No, we're all sitting down. He didn't have a light on his head. He was dressed interesting, but he didn't have a light on his head. And I didn't see his clothes. I saw his eyes. And the Lord was just saying, right there, that one. And then when God goes, hey, there's a guy that says he's a prophet, and I say, that guy right there. The Lord was warning, discerning. He does that to protect his body. There's times when you're speaking with somebody or you're talking to somebody or some situation, maybe you're even in a place, you're in a setting, and something doesn't feel right. You know what I'm talking about? You kind of, okay, I don't know how to explain this, but it's kind of like there's like hands on you, just barely on you, touching you barely. For me, it's like, I don't feel comfortable here. It's weird. And then later you find out, or in that moment, the Lord says, turn around and walk out. And you just go out and you're not sure what the deal is. Discerning of spirits. To protect the body. When it comes to in the area of pastoring and teaching, God will, I think, confirm it through the Word. Jesus warns us in Matthew 7, verses 15 and 18. He says, beware of false prophets. They'll come to you in sheep's clothing. In 1 John 4, 1, John tells us, beloved, that's us, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they be of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And then finally this, how is the gift used? First of all, prayerfully. Prayerfully and humbly. As that alarm goes off in your heart, I don't feel right about this person. And it's not a personality thing. It's not a cologne deal. It's, I don't feel right. Something's wrong. I can't put my finger on it. Lord, speak to me. Help me. And you pray. And God will speak. To destroy the person? No. To go to them, hopefully, possibly to speak to them, to help them. Or maybe it is to stay away from them. How are we going to know who's got a false prophet ministry or not? It is by the gift of the discerning of spirits. It's needed like never before. I'm running through this to end this, and we'll end it now. It's just that we've skipped over so many important things that maybe next time we'll come back to. How the gift is used? It is used with knowledge. Prayerfully, yes. With knowledge, yes. The Word of God will confirm to you over and over again what you should do. In fact, Christian, listen carefully. It doesn't matter, even if it's regarding this gift. Let God confirm whatever you're thinking with the Bible. You have an idea in your head? You think God wants you to move to Schenectady? Well, you know what? Get a verse. You know what? I promise you, if you come on into the office and you say, you know what? I just think that we should move to Detroit. You know what? That's great. You know what? Detroit needs people. You know what? The thing is this. I mean, Detroit needs Christians like you. That's great. Do you have, has God, are you leaning on a verse or a passage of Scripture that God has shown you? If you come up and say, God's calling me to Detroit and He's given me Matthew 28:19, then what am I going to say to you? Let's pray. And God bless you. But if you just come up and say, you know what, I think God's calling me to Maui. You have a verse. Is God speaking to you? You know, I don't know, I just feel like He's calling me. What am I supposed to do? Tell you, I don't think you're feeling right. I'm going to say, well, you know, if you think that's the way the Lord's leading you, what am I supposed to say? You're telling me God has given you this feeling. Oh, God told me I should go. What am I supposed to say? I guess go then. But I'm always going to ask you, do you have a verse? Has the Lord confirmed a verse to your heart? In the gift of the discerning of the spirits, the Lord will give that person scriptures regarding the situation that they're in. And then it is to be used with wisdom. The Christian who is gifted in this area will conduct it very fearfully and very wisely because it's a very serious gift. And finally this, you guys, it's not a popular gift. People are not going to flock to you because you might have the gift of discernment. In fact, they're going to stay away from you. Some of you have this gift and you may not even know it. Some of you I know, and I know that you have this gift and you're not even aware of it. There's been times when you've said to me, you know what, I think that this person and this situation and this and that and the other, I just, right now I can't, you know, really justify it or prove it, but you know what, the Lord is showing me this passage of Scripture, and I, every time I pray about this person, I get this scene and this situation, and the Lord keeps confirming. And then you just walk away, and then later on, I'll hear about it or find out about it, or I'll already know, and God is using you to confirm it to me that this is a problem in that person's life. And it is, what's the word? I guess the word is awesome, which means the fear of God. That's what the word awesome means. It puts you in the fear of God. Man, He is alive, and He pastors His church. He watches over, and He does. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You tonight, and we ask You, Lord, that You might watch over all of us. You do watch over us, and You keep us. Father, we thank You for Your love and for Your goodness. We ask You, Father, that You bless this body and keep it. Father, that You'd make us as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. And Lord, tonight we might be a people that test every spirit, everything that we hear on the radio, everything we see and hear on TV, even something that we hear even from the pulpit, that we would be discerning people. And Father, for those who have the gift of discernment, may they use it humbly. May they use it in the fear of the Lord. And Father, in the last day, may You baptize more and more of us with that gift, because these are perilous times. Father, we thank You for this, what I just would say is a workout for the body. Spiritual aerobics tonight and such things as these. So important to us and for our future and our growth and our health as a church. We love You, Lord, and we commit our lives into Your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.